Let's get this party going. I didn't receive any questions this week. It looks like everybody's on top of things, which is good. I'm just kidding. I know people are so busy. I spoke to some of you guys this week. I had like one-on-one calls with you. And yeah, we had some good chats. So I kind of understand where other people are, and I also understand maybe to an extent why we didn't get questions this week. But I did receive your email. Oh, gee, I think we lost Christina. I was about to talk to her. I did receive Christina's email on Sunday, and I sent her a text message earlier today saying, hey, I think I'd like to talk about her business today, maybe as, you know, I mean, how many weeks do we even have left? I think we've got one, okay, let's just say 2 more weeks. So it will be this one, next week, week 6, and then we'll do 1 more, week 7. Because I wanna use this opportunity to also just focus on your projects and like your companies. And so what I said to Christina earlier, I'd like us to just talk a bit today about her business, maybe. But once she's back on, her microphone is back on, I want to bring her on, because I want us to just spend a bit of time just looking into her business, because I know you guys may have some great ideas here in this group, like we did last week, I think. And try use real cases, again, as we've been doing, use real cases to apply some of the stuff that we are learning here. Hey, Christina, I see you are back.
Okay. Exactly. Thank God.
I'm really struggling to hear you. Hey, the line is so bad. I don't know what happened to you.
I'm going to try as well. Let me try via my mobile.
Okay, so log out and then try and come back again, please, because I really need to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Right. Let me do that.
We'll wait for you. Okay, I guess, okay, Andrina, that's... Alrighty, thank you. I guess, Andrina, that leaves just you and I on the call for now. So maybe let's chat. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks, Sia. I stopped week 5 in the middle and followed your advice and went back to week 1. I've done my list, added a bit more. So I'm on 20 now. So I followed your advice to the T and I started afresh.
Oh, brilliant. How do you feel about that?
Much better, because now I'm...
How does it feel this time around without you putting pressure on yourself?
Much more clearer. I could think of the people a bit more. Yes, I haven't come to 100. I got stuck here and there. But I could identify the first 10 like very clearly, because I knew, okay, this is what I want to do. So that conversation really, really helped yesterday.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. I think I think when you, I must admit, when you were weighing these numbers, like 100,000, 500,000, what? I think I got like, wow, this is a lottery. And I didn't see. Okay, girl, you have to work for your lottery. Like, forget about the money. So that stuck with me when we had our conversation yesterday. Forget about the money, focus on the vision. And then that will come if it's meant to come at its own time. But focus on impact first and getting it right. So that's why I've changed my mindset a lot.
Okay, good. So when you were saying you the first 10 came easily, you know, which of those questions are we talking about? Are you talking about the first question, because there were two questions. I'm even, my brain is actually freezing. There were two questions where I asked you guys to come up with 20. One was where you come up with a list of 20 companies. And then the other was, what was the other 20? Or am I just confused? I do too many things. Sometimes I get confused. But anyway, never mind.
So it's that's fine. The one. Okay, so I think we have more. I think Christina is back or not? Okay.
Yes, she is. But I want to
wrap this up. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm much better now.
Yeah.
I think it's much better, Christina. But anyway, I just want to
wrap better.
Up.
Yeah, it is.
I just want to wrap up what Henrina and I were talking about. So Henrina and I had a one-on-one call yesterday. And of course, we discussed, you know, a lot of things, the program and a whole lot of
that. Okay. Stuff.
Long and short of it was that we agreed that
she'll
go back and actually start from the first week. I'm mentioning it because she mentioned it in case somebody's listening and they're confused. What do you mean you went back to week one? Because what I said to her was that there's no rush.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the program will be, there's this 6 weeks where we are learning things, but I don't want people to pressurize themselves to feel that they have to keep up with the group. Everyone who's here is here for themselves, for their business. And the reality is that what I'm teaching here, this is a lifetime skill. So you guys are going to keep this for the rest of your lives, for the next 50 years, for the next 80 years of your life. So why rush it? You know what I mean? If certain things are a bit confusing and you're feeling pressure, slow yourself down. And take it easy and get it all back in again, because these weeks are gonna pass, but the rest of your life is waiting. So rather get it right. So that's what we agreed on. And she was just telling me that she started week five in the middle and went back to week one, and it's getting clearer now. And I'm mentioning it because anybody else who's in who's probably under pressure because of other things that are happening in their lives, must not feel like they're being left behind. I'm here. Nobody's gonna be left behind. I'm here for every single one of you guys. Yeah. You know, we will be at different stages, because even in terms of our businesses, we're at different stages. So nobody will be left behind. Wherever a person is, I'm there with you. So relax. We've got this. All right. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. Lina's joined us. I just want to acknowledge her.
Okay, welcome, great.
Salima's just joining us as well.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, great.
Hey, Lynn.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great stuff. Welcome, Lynn. Before you joined us, I had announced that we don't have questions, but I still have stuff that you and I need to finish off. But what I suggested earlier on the call is that I'd like us to look at Christina's business and just do a bit of a profiling of her business. And I want to do the same next week and the week after. You know, some of the businesses we haven't really discussed, I'd like us to just, you know, give us a few minutes, just talk about them and, you know, try and apply some of the things we are learning in the program in real businesses that we run right here as members of this program, because I think there could be great learning opportunities for us in there. So Christina, are you cool with that idea?
Thank you. I'm very cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm really hoping that the line will carry us. I'm hoping that your line will help us, because I can hear it's not very clear. Right. Maybe let's talk about
it. I know. Okay, perfect.
Maybe you go ahead. Tell us a bit about your business and how you see. Tell us a bit about what your company does. And let's then bring it to where your thinking is now, now that you are okay. in the program and what you've learned and what, you know, just share with us.
Yeah, because I think you've seen the change as well.
I think
from
so.
Our first conversation.
I'm seeing some really interesting things emerging, I must say.
Yeah, so my business is called CARES Concierge Services. And it was formed in May 2020 this year in the, amid COVID. And the reason it started was really to survive and to pivot from what I was doing before, which is mainly events and exhibitions and some marketing, but everything stopped. So, but I had this moment, it's hard to explain, but I really felt to open a business to work with people and help people with their shopping and deliveries and errands and doing essential services during COVID. That's how CARES was birthed. And it literally came together in about 48 hours. The name, the logo was done within a week or two. So it literally, like literally came together in the shortest space of time. It's hard to explain, but it did. But when we had the major lockdown, I could not operate because the business was not registered. So I had to wait until May when I registered the business and then started. So the idea first was to create all these essential services to do shopping for groceries, stationery, clothing, then do collections for food or for documents, help people with their vehicle licenses, doing stuff at home affairs, doing virtual assistant work, virtual personal assistants. And then I put in bespoke events in there and I put in food, wine, and art consultation because that's what I've done. So it progressed into June. And obviously I went directly to people I knew because it was hard to market the business straight away. I did all the basic stuff and there wasn't a major response. A lot of people still didn't understand what it is for someone to go and shop for them and deliver and pay for that service. But, and then I started thinking of getting corporate. So I had this very wide target market, which has changed drastically in the last week. So I said I would service private clients, which is households, parents, the hospitality industry, SMMEs, corporates, and business executives. And I had this like list of services to do. And so obviously I think I saw the vision and I still see it. And it, when it's a new concept, it takes time for people to kind of absorb the information or even see it happening. And so I hit my first major, not major, I got my first contract in June, by the end of June from Fry's Family Foods. I knew them 2 years ago. I did some work with them on the chef side with events. And I told them I'm opening a concierge service if they ever need any assistance. And they were like, oh, do you do deliveries? I said, yes. And they were like, we're doing a virtual cooking class. So, you know, do it for us. And by some miracle, I got that thing. Obviously, we negotiated prices. And I just did 170 deliveries between Durban, Durban, and Cape Town during August.
Wow.
And so that's kind of gave me the... Yeah, so, and what was interesting is that when she asked, oh, Christina, you know, are you doing Joburg and Cape Town? I was like, yes, I'm doing it. Yet I didn't know how I was going to do it because originally it was just going to be with Durban and it was just me because I didn't think, you know, like I know I would employ people and I know I want the business to do job creation. But anyway, so I got that and I got my second order, which is happening next week, Friday for Bri-Day. So we're delivering burgers in each of the main cities again, Joburg, Durban, and Cape Town. We're doing 10 in Durban, 18 in Cape Town, and 15 in Joburg. So literally I've worked through my network to get people to help and I pay them for it. And it wasn't the most, it was very small profit on these ones, but I think it was still a great like in with the door. So we kind of like in the procurement system on their database as a service provider, I'm woman owned BE. So all of that kind of helped a lot. So, and then like I've been going to market and people have not been catching on and I've been telling, but over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, something interesting happened. I've got two private clients now who want, I've done vehicle license. Now they want stuff for their house. Another woman's just appointed us this week to say she wants help to do her kiddies. It's very private clients now. Now it's like they are business executives and they want help to do their passports for their kids, unabridged birth certificates, debt management, career service, just kind of like virtual assistance work. And so, and that's for Joburg. So I had to broaden my perspective. But so all of that's been happening. But right now, the business, and I think this is the crux of it, is that I've narrowed it down to two target markets plus a third, but three target markets. And one is private clients, because I found that the breakdown that I had was too complicated. Mm-hmm. And then it's private clients, corporate clients, and I do want to get into the meetings, incentives, conferencing, and exhibition space, because I see that happening. So I'm going to have the main three target markets or segmented markets will be that private, corporate, and MICE. And I'm also, I think, simplifying.
Okay. Repeat, it's private, corporate, and?
MICE, MICE, which is meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions.
I see. And how do you define private?
So private are anyone from a household, whether it's a mom, a dad, a parent, a business executive, any private person on an individual basis that's not affiliated with a business that wants assistance. Yeah. Any individual.
Brilliant. Okay. All right. All right. So if we were meeting at a party and I said to you, what do you do? And in your response, can you respond to that question by starting by these words? Imagine if, can you define your business to me as somebody who just met you by starting to make me imagine a scenario that your business makes a reality? Can you start with imagine if, and then tell me what it is you do? Does that help?
Yeah, like an example of what I do or what I would do for that client or for that person.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me give you an example so that
hopefully.
Let me think of an example. So if somebody says, what do you do? So I say, imagine if there was a way for ambitious business owners to grow their businesses faster by partnering with large corporates. So I'm painting a picture. I'm saying, imagine if there was a way for ambitious business owners to grow their companies faster by getting supported by big corporates. Can you imagine that? And then someone says, well, that's what we do. So that's my example that I just made up. So give me yours for your business.
Okay, let me give this a try. I love imaginations, but this is, I think, not as easy always. So I would say, imagine you having the gift of time to do all the things you need to do in terms of resting, family time, working productively, and not having to worry about shopping and errands and tasks that just takes up a lot of time. So just imagine having a virtual artificial intelligent human being in a way next to you to kind of help you take off some stress and help you relax and make life just so much easier for you to take a breath of fresh air.
Wow, Christina. As I'm listening to you, I'm like, we all want that. Like, that is brilliant. But can you see when you talk about your business like that, without using words like concierge and whatever, because we tend to think, oh, it's expensive, it's for those wealthy people. But now, you just painted a dream. You just painted everybody's dream.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that. Okay. That's good.
That was very good, by the way. For your first attempt, that was amazing.
I love my business idea. I really do.
I think it's brilliant. Okay. Now let's come to now. I mean, you've been working. I've been getting your emails. you've been busy, right? On top of that, you've been organizing all these deliveries and everything. So now let's talk about partnerships in the context of your business. What is the thinking now? Where's your head now as we are going through the program with the four weeks already covered? Where's your thinking? with regards to partnerships?
Okay, so with the corporate partnerships and collaborations, I see CARES to be an in-house concierge service. So I believe that, like if we go back to the imagine your employees your employees having the opportunity to have a service available to them, not to take them away from the desk, not to give them any more stress and put more things on their to-do list. Imagine if they could just call someone and say, guys, I need a little bit of help with a personal matter or an office matter, to pick up documentation or do some shopping or pick up my kids or find an pay for my kids, just generally holistically to assist them to just ease the stress and burden. So I really, really believe that that could be something that CARES can offer to corporates and become an in-house service where it services all the employees, including top management executives, and increases productivity and help less employees to be absent from work in order to go and do these tasks, and also decrease the stress levels in the lives of people every day, both in business and home. So it's really to give people a peace of mind and to just help them live a little bit less stressed than they are under the current economic climate or the current pandemic and beyond that. So even beyond COVID and beyond all the other stuff, like today I spoke to a mom, she came to pick up her vehicle license and she said, you know, Christina, when I was single, I was able to do all the stuff. But when you get kids, it's so much, there's no time for a lot of these things. So she said, I'm actually seeing the value of your service. And now I have a second assignment that I want to give you. And that is for their house to sort their paperwork out for all the renovations they've done because they don't have the time. So that's the value and the service that CARES wants to give. And in a way, the word is kind of, CARES is kind of twofold. It really is about caring for society and caring for people and helping them corporate care more for their employees. And that's where we come in. So I see that functioning in a bigger scheme. And the reason I would like to go straight to corporates, individuals are great and private clients, but they're not... The momentum in terms of revenue generation is a lot slower and takes a longer period. And if it's exposed to corporates and to the hundreds of employees or thousands of employees, they can still use us on a private basis, but it's a quicker way to go to market, I have found over the last few months, than it is to the individual. So that's how I would like to see it. And then another angle to corporates is the exhibitions or conferences, et cetera, or meetings, when everyone's traveling and they have all these conferences and meetings and they need assistance to take care of their VIPs, to make the travel arrangements or the dinner arrangements, to pick them up and do VIP things or to assist with certain specifics within an event or a meeting or a conference, that's where we can partner with the corporates and the events and all those other individuals that are part of the strategic partnership or the bigger scheme of the an event or the whole MICE thing. Yeah. Even exhibition centers like the ICC or the Sandton Convention Center is to kind of have that they're available to tell their top clients. It's very much high end on the MICE. I am really going more on the high end side of events and conferencing. Small numbers.
Get me. Are you sure this business started in May this year? I mean, seriously, you sound like you've been doing this for years. Oh my goodness, the clarity on what you're doing and what you're about is really amazing. Awesome.
Like I said, the conversation has improved. I mean, the thought and the clarity from April, May, or from end of March to now, it's really been refined. I mean, it was so broad. I mean, I would talk to people and some of them don't even understand what I'm doing or saying. But that's why you were right to say, like, if the imagine is so much better than using a big word or a small word like concierge, when not everyone grasps it. I may grasp it, but not everyone's grasping it at that point. So, yeah. So it's an early day startup.
Wow, this is so cool. It's really, really cool. Okay, I don't know if other people on the call want to chip in on this conversation because anyone listening, obviously, I've been blown away just having this chat with you, and I'm hoping that I'm really hoping that it's inspiring other people in the group, because it's always nice to to hear, you know, what other people are doing and how they're doing it. And whatever comments that anyone else on, we already know each other now. So I'm sure anyone can be comfortable just chipping in, ask questions, comment, give some advice, share some idea with you. So anybody, you guys, over to you. I don't want to dominate this call. This is your time.
Anyone?
I hope we didn't put them to sleep, because they would have missed out. It's Andrea. Andrea has her hand up. Andrea, can you please unmute and join?
Hi, Christina. Hi, Sia.
Hi,
Andrea.
Christina, this is such a wonderful idea, and especially for not necessarily these massively big corporates, but for smaller, like medium-sized organizations, because they're the ones that really struggle with the employees that if there's one employee that has to go and do something on a personal nature, it actually has a major impact on the organization, because that employee is not available, and especially now where things take so long to do. But also the other thing is around how people right now cannot actually, or are so scared to go out and go and do their own stuff. I mean, like when you were talking about the person that you're doing their child's birth certificate and abridged stuff. Well, I was like, oh, I need to get in touch with you type of thing. but the thing is also... there's certain things that, because there's a lot of other big companies that are doing this, and one of the key things that they're doing is it's a very impersonal process. And so what I found when we were utilizing some of these services is that employees were not using it, one, because they were not really knowing what the service can do for them, or secondly, it was just too long a process. You know, they have to go through this long, big call center, and they have to speak to someone in the call center, and a lot of times people don't come back to them. So it is around making sure that you have all of those types of things right. And then the other thing is around the whole tax implication, because this service, even if the company provides it, the organization would have to tax it, because it would be an added benefit. Okay. You just also have to look at that aspect, and how do you make that where the employee don't feel, oh, it's an additional thing that's on me from a tax perspective. Because when SARS changed the regime around tax and added benefits, I was working at SARS, and we even had to struggle around how do we provide this service to our employees without our employees seeing it as an additional tax burden.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, because I never knew that point at all. So that's fabulous. Thank you.
Wow, that's quite an eye-opener on the tax thing.
Yeah, but it is a service that is really required. And I think that if you really focus on not necessarily these big parlor wall types of corporates, the smaller type of corporate where this impacts them. If an employer has to do something and is not available for the organization, it impacts them much more severely. Because in the bigger corporate, it is, I don't care, because there's 10 of you that's doing the same job.
Yeah. Okay, that's definitely something I would definitely put in. The one of the things I think CARES might be different is that I always plan to put full-time resources. So, for example, if it's a big corporate, they will have dedicated CARES team members to the business, and it will be the same for the SMEs. So it won't be a ad hoc thing. So it will literally be somebody who's part of, who would get to know the staff and the business and be present physically to be able to interact, with the emails. And so there would be presence with CARES as well as executing the task. That's how I envisioned it from the beginning. That's the whole CARES and the personal thing. So it's not going to be a call center. if Christina is taking care of DSTV, for example, it's Christina that's taking care of DSTV. If Christina and Anthea who's taking care of DSTV, then they will be part of the team that's dedicated to the clients. And that kind of also, I think that might be a nicer idea instead of having just ad hoc people, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's very valuable. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. That was great. I think and the advice that Anthea gave, I mean, gee, that's really, 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 really good. I think because what it also does,
yeah.
it also prepares you to be able to answer some of the objections that may come up even before they come up. So one of the things I would do if I were you, I would get in touch with a tax expert.
Yeah.
And basically get her or him to look at possible tax issues around this, so that when you do talk to these corporates, you've got options for them. So that would be one.
Oh, no.
That would be one of the takeaways for me. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is that, like what everything that Anthea was saying now, if you could look at it and break it down and actually pull out specific certain things, because she's using words that your potential client would use, like the whole thing about hustles and call centers and all those things. Those things, you know, those are the things that are in the minds of the employees in particular, because like she said, employees it just seems so cumbersome for them to even bother with this service. So for this to come out as, you know, user friendly and stuff by using what it is not, because people know what they don't want. Most of the time they can't define what they want. So if you go to the pain point, you know, that, you know, it's not like those others who you have to go through this call center, because those are the things people don't want. Another thing I wanted to add was something you said earlier when the mom came to pick up documents from you, and she was saying, you know, when I was single, I used to be able to do these things. All of those, I love it when customers speak. I love it when our clients speak, because their words are gold. Because when we speak as business people, we speak from our heads. But when we listen to our clients, they're giving us gold. So now what they're doing, they're actually teaching us how to talk to them. Because that mother was actually speaking for a whole lot of married people, for a whole lot of people with kids, you know, because when they were single, they were able to do a lot of things, you know, and then they got married, or they had kids and their lives changed. So listening to customers and actually, you know, picking up those words that they use, it actually gives you the ammunition you need to communicate with your prospective clients. So that's just one other thing I wanted to add over there. I see we lost Christina's mic. Mike, I'm not sure what happened there. But anybody else, guys? Any other comments? Thank you so much, Anthea, by the way. That was really, really good. Anyone else who wants to comment on this discussion? Where are my regulars today? Saliva, you had your mic unmuted. I don't know if you still have something you want to add.
Hi, Sia. Hi, everyone. It's just been very hectic, and I really enjoyed listening to what Christina had to say, and especially the fact that she started something new from within this whole covert experience that we're all having. So it looks like a lot of us had to really, really look deep inside and reinvent ourselves, and that's what's really been happening. And and I find that what's really going on is that it's more from an individual level where you can find the work, you know, more from households and private people, more than the big the bigger guys for now, well, since lockdown, because everything closed. But now that it's opening up, I like the energy that Christina brought, that, you know, with the events and all of that. I'm sure that's going to start opening up soon. And it looks like she's getting ready for that as well. So, yeah, it sounds very exciting. I'm so happy for her because she's made something out of nothing.
Totally, totally. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Salima. It looks like Christina's battling with her line. I see that we lost her again, but it's fine. She'll catch us on the recording.
But there's something I'd actually like to ask, and I'm not sure if everybody else has this kind of challenge as well, is that it's really trying to find the customer, you know, the one that really will take something. Because in these times, a lot of people come and they ask, and then they're not actually buying, they're just inquiring. It's finding that space of actually closing the deal or making it happen in that moment. I think that's one of the biggest challenges in sales or in anything that you're really trying to project. How do you carry that forward? How do you try to converse it into making it into a sale as quickly as possible?
I was actually talking to somebody literally a few minutes before we started our sessions. And he was saying the exact same thing. He sells doors, like those luxury doors that you find in expensive homes. So he was saying that they've been really struggling to move these doors. One, because they've been struggling to get material because they're importing it from Asia. But even with the doors they have, the sales cycles have become longer. And I was explaining to him that that is understandable and it is to be expected because there's a lot of uncertainty right now. Yeah. People are not trigger happy with purchases. If something can wait, they kind of want to think about it a lot longer than they would under normal times. Another thing is that people's circumstances have changed, as you were saying earlier. People's circumstances have changed, which has affected their income. Other people are sitting in limbo. They don't know if they'll have their jobs next month. So all of these things, they affect the buying process in people's heads. So your question now is, how do we do this now? How do we sell under these conditions?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a simpler answer. My general approach, just generally to sales, even before these times, has always been meeting people where they are. Basically, there's an old saying in copywriting and direct marketing. The saying is, enter the conversation that is already taking place in your customer's head. So rather than us being too focused on our products that we are selling, let's meet them where they are. Because, you know, for instance, in your case, they would come to you, right? They would come to the shop and they would be asking about this product, that product, that product. Yes. And you would be explaining the product to them. Then you expect them to say, okay, I want that one. But then they'll say, oh, thank you so much. I'll come back. I'll think about it. And they, so,
yes. Exactly. So,
you know, so there are two things here. There's pressure on your side as somebody who wants to sell this product, but also there's pressure on their side about, you know, making a big, what they see as a big purchase right now. So my advice or my approach would be that I would suspend my own pressure and my own frustration, desperation, strong desire to make a sale. I would I would ask myself, what is in their heads? And I would start them there. You know, I'd be like, you know, at these times, you know, we're seeing fewer people coming in. What brought you here today? What made you decide that you want to drop everything you would be doing to come here? You know, so that you can get to understand, what is the push? Are they just, you know, here to distress? Are they just running away from kids at home? And they thought, I'm just going to go wander in the shopping center and they're just walking in shops? Or do they leave wherever they were to come specifically here to come and look at these products? So I would ask them, you know, I would prephrase it by saying, you know, we're seeing fewer people, obviously because of the lockdown, but we're starting to see numbers picking up. Start a conversation with them, a normal human conversation. And then say, but for you, what made you decide that, you know, you wanted to visit us today? Because that will give you an idea of what's going on. Are they buying a house? Are they renovating? Are they looking for your products, for their new home? Whatever is going on. It will kind of give you an idea. And then you can be direct and say, when do you think you will actually want to pick up this type of product? Is it something you want today, this week, this month? What are you looking at? It's a conversation. So the more questions you ask, the more you get to understand than spending too much time talking to them about the product and then they say thank you very much and they leave. Because when they do that, they leave you with nothing to work with.
Yes.
But if you spoke to them and they said, actually, I'm not buying this month, but I think next month I'll buy.
Yeah.
Now you take down their details. You say when you basically get, is it okay if I follow up with you in a couple of weeks to see if we can take the conversation forward and see, maybe by then we will even have a bigger variety, blah, 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 right? So right. Now you kind of get the permission that even though you're not getting the sale today, but it becomes a pipeline for next month.
All right.
And if they want to buy now, great, you know? Then you kind of help them by driving the conversation towards, you know, the information that is relevant for the now purchase. I don't know if this helps, Salima.
No, definitely, because it really is that. It's about how to make that conversation to know what's going on in their heads. Yeah, that's exactly what it is in the sales process. And then taking it forward from there. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. Awesome stuff. I'm glad it helps. So yeah, let's talk to them more so that they can open up, because they hold all the cards. They know things we don't know, and we will never know those things if we don't ask. Yeah. Great stuff. Thank you, Salima.
You're welcome.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Sia.
Welcome back.
I was here all the time.
I know. Well, I welcome back to the mic.
Yes, well done, Anthea. Christina.
Oh, we lost you there for a sec, Lynn. I lost you where you were saying, well done, Anthea. I didn't hear what you said after that.
Is it Anthea or Christina whose business is just moving and moving? That was extremely inspirational.
That's Christina, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, I just wanted to start off with saying that.
Nice.
Here's something I wanted to ask, and it's similar to the question that, Jesus, I'm so damn confused, that Salima just asked. It'd be nice if we see each other's faces, you know, they're not going to remember who's who. Anyway, so I work in the space of enterprise and supply development. This week, I took it upon myself to engage some of my old clients. And I did so just by sending a very brief email, you know, to spark interest. And I must say, I didn't even get a response from anybody. Uh-huh. So my question is, I understand the companies that I work for, they need to, the companies that I've contacted is in the energy space and in the fishing space. So those are companies who really need to, they must keep their BE intact, otherwise they don't, the government doesn't renew their licenses. Now, you know, short of just sending an email, and it was very brief, I can share that email with you, Sia. Sure. My plans are to just pick up the phone and ask, how's business going? And one is in the fishing industry, with oysters in particular. So I know they suffered immensely during the COVID because there was no shipping to the east. I mean, what would you suggest there? What can I do there?
I guess first, let me try and understand. What is the purpose of your outreach currently to them? What are you trying to achieve with the outreach?
So the offer is to assist them in becoming BEE compliant through enterprise development programs.
So that's what was in your email.
Yeah.
So your email had an offer for them.
Yeah.
And what kind of response were you hoping for?
Man, what I was hoping for was to say, hi, Lynn, we hear you, we see you, but we're so busy getting sales back on track or something. But not to engage at all was a bit off-putting.
Yeah, these are people you've dealt with before, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I would say then maybe pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe pick up the phone and call them, because they know you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, call them. Call them, check up on them. Because these days, you know, everybody has been locked down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some people didn't make it because of COVID. We lost, 15,000 South Africans through COVID. Some of those people are people we know. Some of those people are people we know, but we don't even know that we've lost them. So it's not unusual to actually reach out to people and check up on them, to check if they're back they're back at work. How are they working right now? Are they working from home? You know, just ask questions that just try to establish what's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. And then say, because I would like us to discuss, these important things, how I can assist you guys around compliance and all of that stuff. But within that frame of, you know, you having called them, than just an email that just goes straight to the offer. Of course, there are a million reasons why people don't respond. It's just that we are human. So we become emotional about things because we are human. If I don't get a response, I also get disappointed, right? Because we all get disappointed. But the reality is that just because somebody did not respond yesterday or an hour after the email or this week or within 2 weeks, it doesn't mean they're not responding. It just means they may respond at some point or they will not respond. But we don't really know there's no conclusive answer to the question of why haven't we received an email back from them. It could be, they may not have seen your email. They may be in hospital. There are a million reasons why, you know, a million things could have happened. But when you pick up the phone, check up on them, say, hey, I'm Lynn, as you know, just wanted to check up on you. I'm just reaching out to all my old clients. Everybody has been in lockdown and, you know, I just want to make sure everybody's okay. And also I just want to see how we can move things forward considering all the disruptions that have happened in terms of how business works, So, you know, and then you segue into, you know, the compliance, you know, issues, and then you narrow it down, obviously, to enterprise development, et cetera, et cetera. How, and ask them, how can I assist you right now? Because when you guys are under pressure and you have to submit all of these things, it could be a mad rush. So what can I do now to get things easier, you know, to make it easier for you? Are there things I can help you with? And if you know specifics of what you could be doing for them, then you say, because I'm also helping other clients with this, with this, with this right now, so that you give them an idea of what, maybe they've forgotten that they need to look into this. So the goal really is you calling the theme of the call. Let me just summarize it. So you're calling to check up on them because you care. That's one. Two, you are calling, secondly, to help, you know, to offer value to them. You know, sure. Those are the two reasons. You're not calling to sell anything. You're not calling to make an offer. You're just calling to check up on them because you care. And you are calling, secondly, you are calling to help. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, the sale takes care of itself when help is provided.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes we think from our own, you know, from our own heads, because we are so caught up on our products and services that we need to sell, we forget that nobody wakes up in the morning saying, I want to buy something. But people wake up with problems that they wish somebody can help them solve. So solving that problem automatically means that they will pay for that solution. And they've got the money to do that. So that's my take. I don't know if this answers you, Lynn.
Yes, it definitely does. I suppose picking up the phone is the best way. Also, sending email is kind of you hiding behind an email as opposed to tackling the issue head on.
No, that's true. And it's easy. It's nice and cozy to send an email. Yes. A phone can be scary because there's a voice on the other side. Even the email, by the way, could be personal and make it personal, you know, check up on them. You know, if you must send an email, check up on them still. Don't make it generic. Don't make it a generic email that reads like it's going to 100 companies trying to offer them services.
No, definitely not.
Sure. Mm.
Okay, thanks for that, Sia.
It is my pleasure. Anything else, guys?
There was another one. Carry on.
Sure.
There was some questions that I specifically had with reference to week 5. Are we going to get to that at some point here?
We can.
Okay.
You said this yesterday. You sent these yesterday, right?
Yes.
Since yesterday, let me see. What was the date yesterday? The 9th, right? Since yesterday, I received, in my business email, I received 59 emails. No wonder. No wonder I almost missed your email. Your email to me is number 50, and I think there were two of them, and I'll tell you. And 52, yes. Yeah,
there's quite a few that's very specific to week 5 course material.
Okay, let's do this. Let's wrap up with Christina. Let me just make sure that if she had anything to add, and then we close that one. I've got your email open, and then we'll jump on it. Don't hang up. Stay on the line. Christina, anything else from your side before we move on? Hey, Christina. Looks like we're having issues with
okay. Sound. Yes, hello, yes. I'm back.
Welcome back. Anything else from you?
I can hear you guys. Can you?
I can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
From me? You can hear me. Okay, so I would like to find out, I mean, now that I have kind of a vision of how I want to go and my target market, is how to, what is the best approach? I mean, I did send one email example, like following some of your guidance on, you know, best way to approach. And today's Imagine is actually quite a lovely exercise. It gives me an idea. But how awesome. Does one approach it? How does one approach these corporates? Because Anthea said it so well, and Lynn and the other team members, you know, people need this and they want this, but somehow the convincing and the benefit of them in a, like, how do I do that? I think that's where I'm stuck and I'm struggling to kind of go to the other line, the other side, to even get some airtime with them. Because it's different with an email to something that you could just sell on an email. It actually listen and to understand the client, but how do I get there?
Oh, okay. I'll give you a simple answer.
Yeah.
Answer is this. I think you and I need to have a one-on-one call.
Okay.
And then we can pick one okay. or two cases and then just brainstorm around that.
Okay. And then, brilliant.
And then talk from there. Would that be cool?
Yeah, that will be cool. That will be very, very cool. Thank you very much. And on the another thing, I mean, in terms of one of the other things I think is like I would like to find out, like with the current situation with a lot of businesses, etc., and downsize. Another thing I'd like to do is very much on the pricing and how does one talk about their pricing with corporates? Like, you know, I try not to put it in the email example, but usually people come back and say, well, what's the budget or what are the figures? How do you respond to those questions as well? That's another thing that's important.
I think we'll tackle that as well. We'll tackle that when we have our chat. Mm.
Okay.
Because of the thing, the
okay,
thing
brilliant.
Is that a lot
okay.
of these things are very contextual. And yes. I think it always helps when you've got context for every scenario. So let's tackle these on our one-on-one call and then take it
okay.
from there.
Perfect.
Right. Cool. Thank you. Thank you, Christina. Over
okay.
But
yes, I really enjoyed sharing a bit and hearing, and I really ideas.
Great stuff. No, thank you. That was a nice touch from you. I really enjoyed that. Right. Okay, Lynn, I think let's get you back on the line.
Hey, I'm here.
Welcome back. So, we've got quite a few questions from you. And maybe you should lead. We've got about 10 questions from you. So maybe it's best if you lead us in terms of the order in which you would like these answered.
Okay, we don't necessarily have to do all, but there's just a point of clarity. When I went through the material yesterday, there was a conversation around articulating to the, you're now in the meeting and you're telling them about what you want. You
yes.
know, now my question was, does one not leave that to a later time after there's a definite yes?
I'm not sure. I don't want to be quick to answer this question until I understand exactly what you are asking. Help me, can you be more specific exactly what you are saying? I've got my week 5 notes right here in front of me. I hope you've got yours, and then we can both zoom into the specific issue.
Okay, so this was about tell them exactly what you want. Let me just see where that is. Week five, I'm looking at week four. I don't think I printed off week five, Sia. I've got it in my diary in my notes. Just bear with me.
No problem.
So in section B, when we talk about partner alignment, okay, you talk about what is the benefit to the partner. We always show that. And we don't show, at all times, we show that we're not needy. Yes. The second part of that partner alignment talks to what it is that I want.
Yes.
Now, my question here is, does one not present that only after we get a yes?
How do I answer this? So, the best way to answer your question, I guess I'll answer it in two ways. The one way is that, yes, we don't lead with what we want. As to whether that comes up after they say yes, that could be true in some cases, but they may ask you, what do you want, before they say yes. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about this next week. On week six, we're going to be unpacking the actual conversation. So I think your question will be answered there. But like everything, you know, there's room for modification. But I think the principle of your question is that we do not lead with what we want. We don't make this about us. We want to build their desire for what they want. And my comment on that is 100%. We want them to have desire for what we are putting on the table, which is a partnership with us, and how this benefits them, all of that. Yes, we want them to be so consumed by that desire that that what we want, because we will get what we want. That's the thing. When they say yes to what we think they want or what we know they want, we are home, right? We are home free, because by them agreeing to what we are proposing, we get way more than what we want, which is why on that particular point two, where I'm saying, where it says, what do you want? And then I'm saying, the world or nothing.
Yeah.
Which means when I say the world, what I mean there is that sometimes in fact, you and I spoke about this, I think, when we're doing week three, when we're dealing with your email, where I said, don't say to them 1.6 million or 2 million because that may be too little for them to participate in this. In fact, it may be so little that they may even doubt that this will help their cause. So when I was saying the world, I was saying in week five, just tell them all the things. Let's say you're doing a project. And for this project to be a success, I need all these things. And you basically give them a list of everything you need. And then they may respond and say, even though you know that some of the things you need are outside of, you know, what they can provide. But in let's say you list 10 things that you need. They may say, well, we can't help you with all 10, but we will definitely help you with these three, because they fall within our ability to assist. So the world is basically where, you know, you just put everything on the table that is a requirement for the project to be a success, especially when you know that they're excited, they want this. And then the other thing is the nothing part. You know, what do I mean by nothing? Because in some cases, it helps to hold your cards close to your chest in terms of saying specifically what you need, where you actually draw them out, you know, particularly if it's money, you know, where you draw them out to say, well, I haven't really thought that far, but so far I just focused on these things, which are the things that are good for them. You say, well, in terms of what I get out of it, I was hoping that we could discuss that together. And then we come up to what you guys also feel would be fair and equitable way for us to partner in a mutually beneficial way. Gee, I used a lot of jargon there. Mutually beneficial, fair and equitable. But yeah, that's the point. I don't know if this answers, but like I said, this will be unpacked next week when we break down the conversation.
Okay. Then just another one. I was wondering, you're a man of a lot of structure, and that's why you've developed many frameworks that you use to kind of set your clients on the right road. Do you have a framework that you've set up for conducting research on the company that you want to kind of target, firstly, and then secondly, for the competition as well?
That's a very good question. And the short answer is nothing that is a framework. So let me put it that way. Nothing that is a framework in the true sense. So the answer is no. Okay. Normally what I try, because I also don't want people to be caught up. The thing about research is that research can be very addictive, and research can be bad news for procrastinators. So I try to keep it light within the framework, the thinking plan, basically. So that's why I created the partnership thinking plan, because once you can tick all those six boxes in the thinking plan, that means you have no other option but to pull the trigger. You've got to send out that communication. So I wanted that to guide how much research you do before you send the initial email. And also, because there are so many ways we can partner, I did not want to limit, put a framework based just on the partnerships I've done. I wanted to keep it a bit open so that it's guided by what the person wants. And I think in many ways, now that I'm extending the length of time that I'm gonna be assisting people, it allows me to, you know, to get down and dirty with them in some of these things, more so than I would have been able if it was just the 3 months, where maybe some people may not even implement during this period. So it's work in progress, I would say for now, Lynn. But so far, I'm still happy not confining it too much.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, Sia, research can kind of carry on and become very cumbersome. You know, so in the absence of having a bit of a structure, you can go on for days trying to find out who are my competitors, or, you know, how do I get into that company? That I find takes a lot of time.
But I think what should guide us is what we need to do next. So because we are working within the partnership thinking plan, once we can answer all six of those questions, we've done enough research for that phase, meaning for the outreach phase. So what then happens after that, it becomes a case of we wait for them to respond. If they don't respond, we follow up. Let's just say the next thing, because it's pointless to keep researching once you've sent that email, if you don't even know how they're going to respond. But no, let's just say when they respond and they want a meeting, in preparation for your meeting, again, you research within the relevance of your proposition. So that's why I'm still happy to keep this fluid, because it needs to be informed by what you want. You know, this is not an interview. You're not going for a job interview here. If there are things you don't know that come up in that conversation, there's no better time for those things to come up than after they've said yes to the meeting. Because remember, our first approach is just the email or the note on LinkedIn or the phone call. Our first goal is, let's get a meeting. And for that, you don't need a lot. You just need to know enough to send the email to the right person to get them curious enough to talk to you. That's really all you need to achieve for that outreach. Once they've invited you to that meeting, even if there are things you don't know about their company, that's okay, because then they'll tell you. Then you say, oh, gee, I actually don't know that. Why don't you tell me about it? You know, because I don't know. And you could say, guys, I don't know everything about your company. That's why I wanted us to meet like this, because I figured that I could learn a lot from you about your business. So this is not a job interview. We're not trying to impress them. We are just talking as equals here. And you also don't want to know everything, because sometimes you may go way, be going the wrong direction and be wrong and come across as too eager. You know, what you need to know to be comfortable with is the value of your proposition. The rest, you'll be comfortable to just ask questions. I think you'll see next week that when I talk about how we treat the meeting, you'll see that we design our meetings so that we are very comfortable in the boardroom. That nobody's peppering us with questions, because we structure, you'll see basically next week, that we don't design meetings so that people are peppering us with questions. We ask more questions in that room than anybody. So that is good, because then it puts you in control. I'm still comfortable, I think, with the way we've structured the research part, because my big worry is that, you know, a lot of us are procrastinators. You know, as entrepreneurs, once you put us in front of a laptop, we go on a rabbit hole. You know, we find 2 hours later, we've got 10 tabs open on our browser, because we're jumping from this, we read something on one website, we click a link, it takes us to another place. 3 hours later, we're like, what was I looking for when I started? And that's the problem with entrepreneurs, especially when people are uncomfortable to take action. They will hide behind never-ending research, when in reality, all they needed was somebody's name and email address, in most cases.
I'm so used to everything.
Hi, Christina. You are still on the mic. I don't know if you're talking to us. Okay, Christina's line is not very clear today. Guys, I'm not sure what's happening with the line. Lynn, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Shall I shoot with another question, or is anybody else wanting to?
No. I'm not sure what is going on, guys. Today's audio is really not good for us. Lynn?
Yeah. Yes, there's something else that I think I wanna raise here. Is that...
Go ahead.
Off the mic.
Sorry?
I think Christina, on my screen, her mic is muted. But yes. I think we're still getting sound from her, which is very strange.
Mm.
I'm not sure how, but yeah. But anyway, it looks like it has stopped now, Lynn. Go ahead, please.
Yes, so I was saying that at some point, now we've secured the meeting, we need to go and stalk the company we're going to research, we're going to be having that meeting with. in terms of, you know, looking at what's out in the media about the company and all of those things. And then we also need to find out who our competition is. So I need to know who is my competition and why would this client want to work with me instead of with another company.
That's a very interesting, that's an interesting point. This one I'm gonna answer just from my experience. When, over the last 15 years, when I reached out to companies I wanted to work with, it was never because they issued out an RFP or there was a tender. It would be unsolicited approach from me based on what I'm doing right now. So I never concerned myself about what competition is doing because I was not thinking that other people are thinking the same thing. They want to partner with this company the way I want to partner. In fact, just what you are learning here, it kind of makes you unique to any other person who's not getting this training, who may be a competitor. You know what I mean? Because they'll be sending a long proposal and bloody, bloody, blah, all these other things that people do. Nobody's gonna write an interesting email that, like the email you are writing. Nobody's gonna approach this company like a real partner the way you are approaching. So what am I saying is that, unless there's a real reason for that warrants that, I wouldn't worry about that at all. I wouldn't lose sleep about that. I'll just approach the company and just focus on that. I mean, an analogy that comes to mind with for me is when somebody has a romantic interest on somebody. I don't think we wonder who else is interested in this person and how do we deal with them in advance. We just focus on our agenda that I've got a romantic interest on this party. How do I get the attention of the party and move that conversation forward? So that's for me is the closest analogy to this. We don't worry about how many other people are expressing, their own feelings and their desires, whatever that may be, to this person. So that's just my general take. I wouldn't worry about competition. I think that's my answer to that one.
Okay. I think I imagined I saw it in the notes, but maybe I was seeing things. Okay, Sia.
I'd love to see why I talked about that, but generally, I'm not the kind of person who worries about competition. That's just my makeup. So yeah. I would, if you find it in the notes, bring it up so that maybe I'd love to see why I would even waste 2 minutes talking about them.
It's not an issue. It's fine. So yes, I think that's all the questions. Just something that I think may be worth mentioning. Yesterday I watched the APSA Supplier Development Program.
Right, and yes, yes.
There were some nice corporates there. Spa was one of the winners. The V&A Waterfront, surprisingly, is a big one. Christina, I don't know if there may be some alignment with what you do there with the waterfront.
There could be some alignment with that, Lynn.
Yeah, AB InDev or SA Breweries was another winner. So that's, you know, it's these people and how well they responded to supplier development. It was Distel that was another big name. So those are ones that one should possibly consider when they are very open to developing suppliers. And
brilliant.
Yeah.
And can you see now, Lynn, that just what you just told us, it gives you so much context for your outreach.
Mm.
Because this is a conversation starter. You congratulate them for this, yep. and whatever is interesting about maybe something you saw yesterday or something that came up, you know, when you were watching, or something that will come up when you go to do a bit of research, find out what's been said about them. But whatever it is, people love it when somebody reaches out to them when they're in their happy space, you know, yeah. when they're happy in a celebratory mood, and you reach out and you say, wow, guys, I was so inspired by what I saw. You guys are amazing. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, maybe not so casually like I'm doing, but people love it when people love something about them.
Yeah.
And then you segue to, you know, why you want to talk to them, and again, make it exciting and interesting and make them very curious. Yeah.
Sure. Thanks, Nsia, from me.
It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure. So one of the things I want to touch on quickly, guys, is how much do you reveal in your outreach email? Like in terms of the benefits that if you partner with me, you'll get this and this and that and that. How much do you reveal? The goal really of that initial outreach is curiosity. You want them to be, is desire, of course. I mean, we spoke about that. You want them to, this sounds interesting. You want them to have this feeling and this thought in their head that this sounds interesting. Sounds like something I want or something we want. And this person, you know, there are things about this person that are intriguing. We are curious to hear more type thing. So you want to reveal enough to get them interested, but at the same time to leave a lot to the imagination, if you like, so that they come to this meeting kind of primed to hear more, if that makes sense. You know, when you reveal enough and they're curious from what they're hearing, but they're even more curious from what they haven't heard yet, meaning the questions they have that they hope you will answer for them in a meeting when they meet with you. So if getting that balance, and really, guys, this is not as complicated as it sounds, you know, because even for you, think about it, when you talk to your partner or your family member and you want to build suspense, you know, you reveal the exciting bits and then you say, but I'll tell you all about it when I get home. Now they're looking, let's say you just went to a meeting and you say, wow, blah, 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 something interesting. But then you say, you know what? I'll tell you everything when I get home. What have you done there? One, you got them very excited. And now you also built curiosity. Now they're looking forward to hearing more from you. The example that keeps coming to mind is an example that somebody once used, but I don't want to use it. I don't want to use it. Let me just put it that way. Especially in our setting, because I'm trying to find, okay, now I'm getting you guys all freaking out. Like, what do you mean? Okay, I'll tell you what I mean. Because I don't want to confuse you. But I'll find another example that I can use to drive this point without having to use too many words. So this gentleman is a guy who used this example. He said, when you communicate with someone, you almost want to think of a miniskirt, you know, where it just reveals enough for people to pay attention, but it's still very tasteful and doesn't show anything, you know, But you can hear that I'm a guy. I'm trying to be very, very careful in how I speak. But that's the point. You know, he was trying to make the same point. Like I said, I don't have a better example. I'm hoping you ladies will help me so that in future I don't have to trip over my words trying to explain this. Maybe you can help me with a different example that doesn't use miniskirts and all that and all that stuff. Because if I was female, maybe I could comfortably say that. But I'm male. I shouldn't be talking about women and their clothing. It just doesn't feel right. Anyway, so I'm hoping that this drives the point I wanted to make around how we communicate through these initial outreach emails to get people, this sounds interesting, and wow, we're curious to hear more type thing. I think I'm gonna leave it here, guys, unless there's something else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
I'm good, Sia. All good. I think we're done.
Good from Ready. Us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao, ciao, guys.
Bye, we'll bye everyone. Take care. Enjoy your week. Ciao.
You too. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Take care. I enjoy these sessions with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sia.